somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 to 100 years after Christ Jesus stepped into the invisible and ascended off of the earth, his beloved disciple John, if it was the same John, was banished to the Isle of Patmos. This is one of the Greek isles. It's only 13 square miles. And the authorities thought that if they put him there, he would no longer be able to be so disruptive in his new ideas. And on this isle, John discovered that the principles he was practicing were just as effective, in fact, more so, because it was here on the Isle of Patmos, in an elevated state of consciousness, that John was able to see what very few men or women have seen on this earth. And he dictated it, and it was written down. And he said, "At that time I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Now, of course, the earth and the heaven he's referring to are the earth and the heaven, well, the old earth and the old heaven, the earth of material sense and the heaven of material concepts. And he continues with, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of this new heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now, this was the experience that John had when he ascended up over material sense of being, a material sense of universe, a material sense of earth, even a material sense of heaven that would somehow add to a material sense of humanhood. This he termed the old earth and the old heaven. And when he ascended up over that and stood still in the silence, then he beheld. Well, he was lifted into the eye, which is why he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." You see, he was having a spiritual experience which lifted him out of the universal material sense of universe, of earth. And when that happened, he saw. He was a beholder, and he beheld a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, which, in his words, descended out of heaven from God. Or, came down from God out of heaven. Both of these are his own words. What does it mean? It means he stepped out of a material sense of universe where the concepts in the mind manifest, sometimes good, sometimes evil, none of them lasting, none of them eternal. All of that passed away. He saw a new universe, a new heaven, and out of that came a new earth. The new heaven was the I within him, also known as consciousness. And he saw out of I consciousness manifest a new earth. Now we may think, well, that was somewhere around 2,000 years ago. Things were different then. But if you think that way and you think John was unique, you are, well, you're thinking amiss. Because I discovered a man here in the 20th century having the same experience. He had the same exact experience. He was in his bedroom. Mr. Joel Goldsmith. Joel was in his bedroom, sleeping. He was awakened. He looked, and behold, a red scroll with golden letters unfolded before his eyes. And quickly he grabbed some paper and he wrote it down. And on this scroll, he beheld the same thing John did, a new heaven and a new earth. For listen, and in fact, he titled it The New Horizon. What is the new horizon? It is the new heaven and the new earth. And he is saying here, we can all have the very same experience that John had. He says, the sense which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism, or the universal material sense of universe, which produces the entire dream of human existence. Now that's the old earth. That's the temple made by mind, by concepts, by universal concepts. And praying to God to repair a universal concept is, well, it's folly, isn't it? And so he says it must be understood. There's no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. It must be realized the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion, or a material sense of earth, a material sense of heaven. And we're thinking heaven can provide us with more material objects. The entire human scene is a material sense of universe, and we must rise above the desire for even good human conditions. You see that now? John saw the whole thing, the old earth and the old heaven, pass away. And he saw a new heaven and a new earth, and so did Joel. And he's going to tell you about it. Understand fully that suggestion, belief, hypnotism, a material sense of existence is the substance or fabric of the whole mortal universe. And human conditions of good and evil are dream pictures having no reality. Why do you have to understand that? Because it's only then that you can experience the new heaven and the new earth. As long as you're grappling and wrestling and waiting for God to improve your material sense of universe, well, all your prayers are praying amiss. And so he says, you must be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known and lived in. And so, if you want John's experience here in Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. If that's the experience you want, you must, like John, you must see a great white throne, which is consciousness, I, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. To have that experience, you must do what Joel said, be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear. Why? Because when you do, you see a new heaven and a new earth, explained by Joel as, above the sense life, there's a universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God living in the household or temple of truth. This world is real. It's the new earth and the new heaven. This world is real and permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness, and in it there is no awareness of discords or temporary material good. The first glimpse of reality, he could have said, the first time you see a new heaven and a new earth, the soul realm comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporal conditions and experiences are hypnotism, or a material sense of earth, a material sense of heaven. With your inner realization that the entire human scene, good and evil, are illusions, comes the first glimpse and taste of a new heaven and a new earth. God's creation and the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. This is exactly the same as the tabernacle of God is with men, and God himself is with them. The first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. Now, in this uplifted consciousness, we're able to see, even though faintly, we see ourselves free of a material sense of existence. We behold ourselves separate and apart from the bondage of sense. And we glimpse the unlimited boundaries of eternal life and infinite consciousness, which is a new heaven and a new earth. Now, look at this closely. John's wording, he says, "And I saw a great white throne, which is consciousness, and him that sat on it, which is I, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." That is, a material sense of existence, a material sense of universe, a material sense of heaven, even. They fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, which means there was no more material sense of existence. Sea is a word for consciousness, human consciousness. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now that's his way of saying what Joel says like this. The experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. That is exactly the same. This is the same experience. John telling us near 2,000 years ago, this is what happened to me. And you can do it too. And Joel telling us only 40 or 50 years ago, telling us the same exact thing, but in modern language. The experience at first is like watching the old earth disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There is no attachment to this old earth, this material sense, and no desire to hold on to it, probably because the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. You see that? Now, John says, "And he that sat upon the throne," and remember the throne is consciousness, the throne is I, "he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write this. These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh," what? "He that overcometh this material sense of universe shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That's the way John says it. And Joel says, at first, we cannot speak of it. There is a sense of, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. I am still between the two worlds." What two worlds? The old earth and the new earth. Material sense projecting itself and spiritual consciousness, the Word made flesh. "I am still between the two worlds. Do not touch me or make me speak of it. It may drag me back. Let me be free to rise, and then when I am completely free of the mesmerism of a material sense of existence, of a material sense of self, I will tell you of many things which eyes have not seen nor ears heard." A universal illusion binds us to earth, to temporal conditions, to corporeality, to a material sense of existence, to the old earth. So realize this, understand this, because only through your realization can you begin to lessen its hold upon you. He says, the more fascinated we are with conditions of human good, the greater our desire for even the good things of the flesh, the more intense is the illusion. Now, this is not telling you that if you desire chocolate cake or hot fudge sundaes or pepperoni pizza, or even if you desire, let's say, a wardrobe, a closet full of several wardrobes, several outfits, or a fast car, or a beautiful house, or a nice vacation. It's not saying don't desire those things because you're evil if you do, or you're not holy. It's saying if you're fascinated by those things, if you're caught up in those things to the point where you're working for them, you're hypnotized. You're hypnotized. You are concerned with improving the human world and getting the good out of it. But it's just as much a trap on the other side. If you're caught up into disease or bad relationships or lack and limitation, you're just as hypnotized as the person focused on the good, because now you're focused on the evil and you want God to make it better. You have a material sense of existence and you want a material sense of God to make this material sense better. It's just as much hypnotism on the good side as on the evil side. And so it has nothing to do. You're not being a bad person if you desire these things. That's some of the old theology. It doesn't fit here. You're not being a bad person. What you're doing is you're dwelling in the wrong consciousness. And so you'll have the results of that consciousness. You either live in a temple made by mind, which is a series of universal beliefs, concepts, none of which are out here. You know where the new earth, you know where the old earth and the old heaven are? The same place the new earth and the new heaven are. They're within you. And so when you step out of, even for a moment in your meditation, you stop struggling, you stop trying to improve this old earth, you drop the concepts, you forget the problems, you forget the solutions, you forget all of it. You don't have to work that hard, and for a moment, you rest back, and suddenly there's a feeling of the presence. That is the consciousness, that's I within you. And when you feel that, you rest in it, you make no effort to do anything, you ask for nothing. Simply rest on the sea of spirit, and then I will manifest, and you will have this experience where you look and behold, you see the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You are given consciousness manifesting. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference? The mind and universal concepts and a material sense of existence appears to you as good today and evil tomorrow, or evil today and evil tomorrow. But usually it's a volleying back and forth between good and evil and trying to make evil into good. Well, all of us do it. Look across the world. We want to get ahead. We want to save enough to do this and that. We want to turn our lack of limitation into good. And we succeed. We get it. And then somebody who's in charge of our investments takes the money and invests it in some sort of fraud. And the next thing we know, snap of the fingers, we're broke. We put all of our hope in this concept. I'm not saying investments are wrong. I have some. I'm saying I don't put my hope and faith in them. Those are material concepts. I put my hope, my faith, in the invisible spiritual substance, which is I, Christ consciousness. And when that manifests, when the Word becomes flesh, it still appears as good. But the substance behind it is eternal. It will never falsely invest. Trust me on this. And it's just as much here in North Carolina as it was in Florida when I lived there. And just as much in Florida as it was in California when I lived there. And just as much in California as it was in Hawaii when I was there. And the Bahamas when I was there. Michigan when I was there. Everywhere. Connecticut when I was there. You see? So, Joel says, think neither on the discords nor the harmonies of this world of a material sense. Let us not fear the evil nor love the good of human existence, of material sense of universe. In proportion as we accomplish this, the mesmeric influence is lessening in our experience, and you can see the old earth and the old heaven pass away. Which is what he says here. Earth ties begin to disappear. Shackles of limitation fall away. Erroneous conditions give place to spiritual harmony. And death gives way to eternal life. Now, tell me this doesn't sound exactly the same. John says the same thing, almost word for word, like this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's John. This is Joel. Earth ties begin to disappear. Shackles of limitation fall away. Erroneous conditions give place to spiritual harmony. And death gives way to eternal life. Now, folks, that's the same thing. John was having a revelation on the Isle of Patmos. He was in high consciousness. Joel was in his bedroom. I'm not sure if he was still in California. I think he was. He was in his bedroom in the middle of the night, having the same experience, the same revelation, and telling us, look, follow me. Because it wasn't Joel saying this. This was the Christ in both examples, saying, follow me. I am here, and I will give you the revelation. Says Joel, the first glimpse into the heaven of here and now, which is a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is heaven here and now. These guys could have been the same guy, because obviously they had the same Christ consciousness at work. And here we are being told, and you can have it too. The first glimpse into the heaven of here and now is the beginning of the ascension for us. The ascension is understood now as a rising above the conditions and experiences of the old earth. The ascension is releasing the old earth. The ascension in Beyond Words and Thoughts, he says, is always the same, rising above the mind, no longer knowing truth, beholding truth, beholding God in action, manifesting. He says, we rise above the conditions and experiences of this world, and we behold the many mansions prepared for us in spiritual consciousness, in our awareness of reality. See that? The many mansions are in consciousness. The new heaven and new earth are in the new Jerusalem coming down from God. Christ consciousness. And so Joel says, we are not bound by the evidence of the physical senses. You're not bound to this material sense of existence. You can ascend up over it. It may at first be an experience in your bedroom in the middle of the night, like Joel. It may be an experience in your meditation later this morning, this afternoon, this evening. We are not limited to the visible supply. No, if you're wanting God to add to the visible supply, you're wanting God to add to a material sense of universe, a material sense of self, a material sense of supply. We are not tied to these visible concepts of time and space. Well, now, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? John says, and he said unto me, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And Joel says, we're not tied anymore to time or space. Our good is flowing from the infinite invisible realm of spirit, soul, within us, to our immediate apprehension, appearing out here. And so Joel says, let us not judge of our good by the sense evidence. Out of the tremendous resources of our soul comes the instant awareness of all that we can utilize for abundant living. No good thing is withheld from us as we look above a material sense of universe, above the old earth, to the new earth and the new heaven. Above the physical evidence, he says, to the great invisible. The great invisible is the new heaven. That's where it comes out of. The new earth comes out of that new heaven. It is a temple not made by concepts. It is a temple eternal in the heavens. Joel says, look up, look up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. Look up and have this experience of the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. He finishes it with, I am breaking the sense of limitation for you. I'm breaking your material sense of universe, your material sense of self, your material sense of supply, your material sense of companionship, your material sense of body. I am breaking these. And if they are dissolving, you must release them. You must let the old earth go. Joel says in here, you must be willing for both the harmonious and the inharmonious concepts, experiences, objects of a material sense of existence. You must let them go. I am breaking the sense of limitation for you as an evidence of my presence and my influence in your experience. I, consciousness, Christ consciousness, the I of you, am in the midst of you, revealing the harmony and infinity of spiritual existence, of heaven here and now, of a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. I, the I of you, never a person, never a personal sense of self, but the I of you. I am ever with you. So look up. Now, John, in his revelation, said, as I looked upon the throne, a voice said, behold, I make all things new. This is the same exact experience. I make all things new. I am with you, breaking up the old to give you the new. Now, you have said that you want this kingdom of heaven experience. You have said you want the new heaven and the new earth. Do you? Are you willing to let go of the old heaven and the new and the old earth? Because you can't have the new and the old at the same time. That's what we just read in the New Horizon, which is also meaning the new heaven and the new earth. We just read that probably the experience won't come until you're willing to let these go. This needs to be dwelt upon. This needs to be contemplated. This interaction needs to take place. We need to make this transition. Now, in Joel's book, Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture, there's a chapter in the back called The True Sense of the Universe. I believe he could have called it The Secret of the Universe, because the whole chapter has to do with the secret, the great secret, which nobody knows in standard religion. He says, the secret which has been so rarely understood is this. Now, bear in mind what we just went through, which was John's revelation and Joel's revelation experience. The great secret of the universe is this. The life which you behold in man, tree, or animal is not the life which is God. Human, animal, or plant life is not a manifestation of God, and therefore it's not immortal, eternal, or spiritual. The life of material man, that's that material sense of universe you're entertaining, the life of material man or flower is mortal sense objectified. It's a false sense of life. It's a false sense of the life which is real. The understanding, this is the same as what we just read. You must be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious experiences of material sense to leave you. This is the same. The understanding of this truth, that the life of material man and flower is a false sense of existence, a false sense of the real, the understanding of this truth will enable you to look away from a material sense of existence. It will enable you to refrain from attempting to heal it, correct it, or reform it. And, now here's the big part, listen up. As soon as you have conquered the desire to heal or improve the material sense of existence, the spiritual or real begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. You cannot behold or experience this new eternal life, this new heaven and new earth, and its harmonies and beauties while accepting the evidence of senses as if it were God's creation. What has he just told us? He's told us if you want the revelation, you must conquer the desire to heal or improve a material sense of existence. And he firms it up. He says, do not take lightly what I'm saying. This is the great revelation. My kingdom is not of this world. This will reveal to you the secret of John the Revelator, who beheld the universe which is not made with hands, but which is eternal, as consciousness appearing, spirit unfolding, soul revealing itself. All right. Is this plain now? Do you hear this inner voice? We have come to a place, most of us here in the mystical principles, over these years, It's going on 14. Next year will be 14, and next year is only a few months away, a couple of months away. Now, over these 14 years, we surely have come to the place where we are willing that the good as well as the evil of human existence should depart from us. We are willing to drop a material sense of self. When we have that willingness, then we can have this revelation, the same one that John had on the Isle of Patmos, the same one that Joel had in his bedroom in California. Because, you see, it wasn't the place, it was the consciousness. They both stepped into that inner consciousness by first watching the old earth and the old heaven pass away. Then John could experience the universe not made by concepts, by hands, the universe which is eternal. What's that universe? That's the universe of consciousness appearing, spirit unfolding, soul revealing itself. Okay? Joel described it in what we just read, the New Horizon, by saying above the sense life, the sense universe, is a universe of spirit governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. This world is real and permanent. And John described it by saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And there shall be no more death. Behold, I, consciousness, make all things new. This is fabulous. But he didn't stop here, Joel. He felt this was very important. So he said it a second time. Down this page a little farther, he says, for the second time, the life of material man, the life of tree, the life of flower, the life of animal, this is not life eternal. It's not a manifestation of God. I don't care how cute this little kitty is over here that I'm looking at right now. If I have a concept of a kitty that's sick, maybe really cute and so many months old and able to play with its toy, and but then lingering in the back of my mind is that cute kitty could catch feline leukemia or could catch distemper or rabies. And that good little picture of a cute little kitty can turn into a bad picture, can it? Because that is not life eternal. That's not a manifestation of God. Not what I'm looking at, not this concept. But what if I see the truth? What if I'm willing for the harmonious and the inharmonious view of a material sense of kitty? What if I'm willing for both of them to go? What if I'm willing for the old earth to pass away? Then in my meditation I can see a new earth and a new heaven. I can see a new Jerusalem and a new kitty. I can see the reality of that, which is I, consciousness formed, appearing as form. Joel says, if you're ever to know your spouse or your friend who you think you know, you've got to be willing in meditation to unlearn and forget everything you knew about them, which is the same as saying you need to let the old earth pass away. And so, he says, you turn within and say, now, Father, reveal them as they really are. And then you'll have a revelation experience, and you'll see. What will you see? You'll see the Son of God. You'll see Christ. You'll see the Word made flesh. You'll see the spiritual universe. You'll see the spiritual presence appearing as that animal, appearing as that person, appearing as that flower. You'll see the essence. You'll see the invisible. So he says, the second time here, it's not the life of the material man, animal, tree, flower, is not life eternal. It's not a manifestation of God. It's a false, finite, mortal sense of life. Do not attempt to patch it up, but rather turn away from it. How many times has he told us that? Turn away from the old earth. And with your new enlightened consciousness, discern behind the image the life which is God. Feel through your cultivated spiritual sense this divine energy of spirit. Become conscious in the silence of your soul powers. Let the divine harmonies appear as you disregard the evidence of sight and hearing and tasting and touching and smelling. Believe me, this is the secret of secrets. This is life eternal to know this. But he doesn't think that he has gotten it across, so he says it a third time. He says, that which is real and eternal is not seen or touched. It is spiritually discerned. It is cognized only by inner consciousness. Reality is perceived by the soul, the inner vision. And only to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear can this vision become a living, vital presence. Only those who have heard what is said by the still small voice and what is seen, what is visible to the windows of the soul, can discern the temple not made by hands, the universe of God's creating. So he's saying here, you can have this revelation, and indeed you must have it. This is what everything has been leading up to. You're having this inner revelation, exactly as John did, exactly as Joel did. This inner vision, he says this a fourth time now, this inner vision, this spiritual consciousness, this soul sense, comes only in proportion as we accept and realize the great secret. The life of material man, plant, and animal is not eternal life or God. It is a finite sense. It's a manifestation of mortal, material sense. And this false sense of life must be put off, disregarded, unvalued. It has to pass away in order that the real life in its formations may become evident and experienced, or in order that you may see with John, with Joel, a new heaven, a new earth, a new horizon. You see that? Oh, it's really quite wonderful. Now, in Leave Your Nets, I was reading Leave Your Nets. I like to read it in my morning meditation. I came upon this. The day eventually comes to you when another transition has to be made. And the realization dawns that neither supply nor the body is material. Even the entire universe is not a structural universe. My kingdom is not of this world. No, not in any sense of the world. There are joys of which the people of this world have never even dreamed. There's a sense of health of which nobody is in mortal or material sense has ever conceived. There is another world, a new world, a new heaven there really is. And when the old earth and old heaven are passed away, you come into the new earth and the new heaven, and you find they are purely spiritual. All right? So, this that he is saying must happen to all of us. It's not enough to understand this with your mind. It's not enough. You must have a spiritual experience. You must have this inner transformation. You must have the actual experience within your being where you say, enough! No more material sense of universe. No more material sense of self. I don't want more material supply, more material companionship, even a better material companionship. I don't want more material health. That's enough. It's enough. I'm going to take what these fellows told me, and I'm going to disregard it in my meditation first. I'm going to disregard it. I'm going to devalue it. I'm going to let it pass. Let it pass. And I'm just going to stand in the silence. I'm going to stand stock still. I'm no longer going to work. I'm going to rest as a piece of ice floating in the water. And it's okay to ask for spiritual things. Father, reveal the spiritual sense of universe. Spiritual sense of self, spiritual sense of supply, companionship, spiritual sense of life, spiritual sense of body, and then be still, and you will know I within you am God. When we meditate on the word I, Joel says in our spiritual resources, he says, having discovered that I is not in the body, no, I is never contained in a material sense of existence. When we meditate on the word I, having discovered that I is not in the body, we soon find I occupies this whole room. Now, I had that experience, and I shared it with you. I was never going to meditate again because I was mad at God. Now, that's the human not getting more of something material. In my case, it was I wanted my wife healed. I wanted her body healed. My ex-wife. And it wasn't happening. And I was mad at God because he wasn't patching up a material sense of her. Well, he couldn't do that because the material sense is an illusion. But anyway, I was awakened at 3 in the morning, 3:30, and told to meditate. That's all I heard was one word, meditate. And I forgot I was mad at God, and I was half asleep, and I walked out, and I sat in the living room on my couch, and I meditated on, I and the Father are one. There is no material sense of self here, only I. And the deeper I went into that, the deeper was the experience. I felt the presence, even as I am this very moment, as I'm speaking. I felt the presence on my leg, just like it is. And it spread up. I felt it soon in my leg and my arm, totally on the one side. And then I felt it in my head, as I am now, on top of it. And then I felt it throughout my whole body. And suddenly it jumped to the whole room, remember? And then it jumped to the whole house. I felt myself everywhere in the house, and the house inside of me. And I knew the next step was, it was going to go infinite and be everywhere. And Joel says, When we meditate on the word I, having discovered that I is not in the body, we soon find I occupies this whole room. Later, we discover I is outside this room looking in. I is way up on the roof looking down, and sometime later we see that I am at the center of the universe, simultaneously looking forward and backward, to the left and to the right, beholding this entire universe all at one time, including the past, the present, and the future, for I and the Father are one, and where God is, I am. And where God is, where I am, God is. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Where I am is recognized, God is. I, in the recognition of I, is the recognition of infinity. And as we ponder the word I, we find our life is becoming abundant. So, you see, it starts hopefully in your meditation on the word I. But it really happens to you. The revelation happens to you. The revelation is not something that happened 2,000 years ago to one man called John on the Isle of Patmos. John entered his secret closet and he became willing to have the old earth and the old heaven pass away because he says that's what happened. And Joel was working with the principles he just told you about, and he was willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious experiences of humanhood to pass away. And John experienced a new heaven and a new earth, and he heard a voice saying, I, within you, consciousness, make all things new, including this new Jerusalem, including a new sense of self, including a new sense of universe, which is a temple not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. And Joel was awakened in the middle of the night, in which he experienced, above the sense life, a universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God. And it was real and eternal, permanent. And you can have the same experience. You have it in your meditation when you become willing to disregard, unvalue, let go of a material sense of universe, a material sense of self, a material sense of earth. When that passes away in your meditation, even if only for a moment, you come into the same experience that I had. You experience a self and a universe that's spiritual, that's omnipresent, that's infinite and eternal. And you know forevermore, this is what I am, and this is what thou art. You are making the transition from humanhood to Christhood. You are making the transition from a material sense of self to a spiritual identity. You're making the transition from a material sense of universe to the spiritual kingdom of heaven here and now. And when you make that transition, well, he that overcometh shall inherit all that I have. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And so, when you make the transition, all that the Father has is yours because you have become the living Christ. And it happens first It happened to John. Maybe he was meditating. We don't know. It happened to Joel in the middle of the night. He was probably meditating in his sleep. It happened to me. The beginnings of it happened on my couch in Florida as I was meditating. But it happens to all of you who are willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious pictures to pass, so that you can experience the spiritual reality of your very own being, I, within Christ consciousness. And then you behold a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. And you behold a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for you, her husband. And you hear a voice, a great voice within you, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is now with you, and I will dwell with you, and you shall be my people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And you hear a voice say, now, I within you, I, Christ consciousness, behold, I make all things new. Blessings to you who come into this revelation experience. Beyond all your dreams, I am. Thank you so much for bringing this forth. I hadn't planned on a talk, but something needed to pour through, and you drew it out, and so thank you. And I love you. Okay.